At first, he'd thought the soldiers responsible for those actions had actually been acting under orders, that they were the true face of the Church of Carus's pious public disavowal of the Inquisition's methods. But he'd gradually decided he was wrong. First, because it was so haphazard, so uncoordinated and inefficient. Any inquisitor worth his salt would have managed the whole thing far better, far more effectively, without ever officially questioning the prisoner. Wyman had done precisely that at least a dozen times during his own novitiate, after all. But secondly, and probably even more conclusive, at least three jailers who'd been responsible for giving him special treatment had been severely disciplined by their own superiors. It hadn't stopped the occasional abuse, yet he was convinced their punishment had been genuine. When he'd finally accepted that, he'd felt two conflicting emotions. One was an even deeper contempt for his captors, for their craven refusal to interrogate him effectively, even under the cover of spontaneous actions by common soldiers. But the other, the one which still shocked and confused him, was the realization that the soldiers were doing it on their own. That the troopers were so furious over Hoskins' death that they were actually defying orders to beat and abuse a consecrated priest. And worse, far worse, was the crushing realization that the soldiers weren't alone in their anger. Despite everything else they'd done, his captors had at least permitted him access to clergy. He had no doubt their willingness to allow that was just as much a thing of cynical calculation as everything else they'd done, but he couldn't pretend he wasn't grateful. They'd even allowed him a true priest, one of God's servants who'd had the integrity and moral and spiritual courage to remain an openly observant temple loyalist, rather than giving him the opportunity to reject their own false and faithless clergy. He'd been permitted to make confession, but as a condemned murderer, he was not permitted to speak privately even with his confessor. A priest of the Church of Carus was always present, sworn, of course, to respect the sanctity of the confessional, not that Wyman believed for a moment he actually would, even as he enforced the legal restrictions upon the confessional. That had prevented Wyman from using it to pass messages to anyone outside the prison via the confessor. On the other hand, he hadn't had anyone left to pass messages to either, given the clean sweep Garvey had made. But the confessor's thrice of 5-day visits had given him at least a limited window on events beyond Casimar Prison's walls, and that window had confirmed his captor's version of events in Manchir. The other priest hadn't wanted to tell him that, out of pity and compassion, Wyman suspected. He hadn't wanted the intendant to discover how completely and utterly he'd failed. Yet, in the end, the bits and pieces he'd been willing to admit had convinced Wyman the stories of his interrogators, the taunts of his jailers, and the jeers of the common soldiers had been only too true. So now he was to hang, his great work in God's name completely undone by the stupid credulity and gushing sentimentality of the ignorant, unwashed cretins who had allowed themselves to slobber over a single provincial upper priest and the justified fate his betrayal of God and his own vows had brought upon him. Adrian Wyman closed his eyes again, pacing, 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 while the smoking lava of hatred, failure, and despair flowed through him.